Y'all ever done anything like that? You think, this is so goofy. I know better than that. All right, what I'm supposed to do is, in the next little bit, is I'm supposed to set the stage for these other guys, follow this book pattern, this book outline, listening to instruction. Now, when I got this, I love the book of Proverbs. I got it, I looked at it, and to be honest, it's a hard lesson to teach. So that's why I'm running all over the world. I looked at that, and Sellers Crane wrote it, and he's a great guy. He just retired from Rivergate as a preacher after 25 years. Anyway, great guy. I have nothing bad to say about him, but I read his lesson, and hard lesson. But I looked at it, and I thought, Proverbs, he says Solomon wrote this. Doesn't it kind of bother you? I mean, this is a wonderful book. Everything in it's great. And it's great. I don't even know many people that would disagree with the book of Proverbs. Some of them would disagree with the part about God, but most of them would agree with some of the ethics and the morals and lazy people, and, you know, shouldn't be rewarded by being lazy. All that stuff, it's common sense stuff. Okay. But I read that and I thought, okay, is this David talking to Solomon? Because it says, my son, hear the words. Is this David talking to Solomon? Or is this Solomon talking to his son? And if he is, that's even more frustrating, because out of all of Solomon's wives, how many wives did Solomon have?
700.
That's right. 700 wives, 300 concubines. He was a genius if he could remember all of them's names. I mean, I really believe he's the guy that came up with calling everybody sugar and honey. I mean, that's the only way you can do it. 700 wives, 300 concubines. How smart is that? That ain't smart. I mean, perfect wives, that's not smart. Yeah, when he wrote that passage about it's better to live on the corner of a rooftop than with a contentious wife, I guarantee he knew what he's talking about on that. Good grief, he could have said it's better to be in the middle of a hurricane with an umbrella than to be. Yeah, he knows about that stuff. Okay, but if this is Solomon talking to his son, how good of a job did his son do in listening? His son, 700 wives, 300 concubines. Some people think that he married for political alliances. I mean, he may have married so many because he wasn't producing any children. Because the only thing that we know, he's got one son. He's dumb and a rock. One of the worst leaders in the Bible, wasn't he? So if this is his daddy talking to him, what does this say to us? If this is his daddy talking to his son and his son ends up dumb, what does that say? You can't make people learn, can you? You really can't make people learn. You've got to want to learn. So when we're talking about listening to instruction, we're talking about really wanting to learn. Now, if we really want to learn, what are we going to do? You really want to learn something, you're going to go after it, right? You're going to make the time for it. I mean, if you really want it, you know, one of the most frustrating things I've ever heard that is a truth is people have the time to do what they want to do. That makes me so mad, because I stand up and people say, I wanted to come to church, but I couldn't make it. And I know that they could have been there if they'd wanted to. All right, so we say we really want to learn. All right, let me just ask you a question. If you really want to learn, what do you got to do? We got cave activity. I heard somebody talking about if it was a cave cricket or a spider in there, it'd be worse than a snake. I have issues with y'all that said that. A snake scares me to death. A spider doesn't bother me. I don't know what the deal is with these younger people. Spiders, they just scared to death of spiders. What's wrong with you, boy? You're a grown man.
Take a snake over a spider any day.
That ain't right. That ain't right.
I can't handle that crawling all over me.
I sure can't handle a snake crawling around me, period. Whatever hair I got stands up on me. When I see a snake and it disappears, I don't know where he's at. I'm scared to death. Scared to death. Now, I've been watching these snake shows, you know, like the snake rattle, snake roundup, and all that. I've decided, I have now learned that snakes can be picked up by the tail and you can hold them out. You know what? I know that. I still can't do it. But I just got to get back on this thing. I've looked at this clock. You really have to want to learn. To learn. Now, every once in a while, you can pick up lessons that you didn't want, but maybe something happens that you brands it on your mind for the rest of your life. But most of the time, you get to really go after it. What do we do to learn? What do we do? Here's what we don't do. We don't take notes. We're passive listeners. We don't take notes. David, right? David, you're up here preaching. There's good people here. Do you see them taking notes?
Very seldom.
Why don't we do that? See, none of you taking notes tonight. That makes me mad. No, I don't make you mad. Bless your heart. You get an A for the class. Now, the bad thing is you can't follow me because I'm all over creation, right? I have generally one point to my lesson. It just takes me a long time to get there. All right, let's try to get it. You got to warn. Just hearing it don't mean anything. It's good, but just hearing it doesn't mean. Listen to this. Ezekiel chapter 33. This has got to hurt to the very core of his being. First of all, Ezekiel has been given a tremendous responsibility. God tells him he's making him a hard head because he's dealing with a bunch of hard-headed people. God tells Ezekiel, you're a watchman and you're responsible for every soul. You've got to warn them. And if you warn them and they, you know, and they go ahead and do wrong, you freed yourself. But if you warn them and they just keep doing everything, you see them doing evil and you don't warn them, their blood's on you. He's got a tremendous responsibility. But in Ezekiel 33, God says to Ezekiel, says they like listening to you like a song. So in other words, Ezekiel at the end of the day would say, wow, God, I packed them in today. They were just here in droves. They just bragged on me and said I did such a tremendous job. And you know what God says? They like to hear you. They say you sound like a sweet song, but they don't do what you say. That's got to hurt a preacher to his very core. That you're teaching, and people even act like they like it, but they're not getting it, they're not applying it, they're not living it. Ezekiel 23 is a story that is very powerful. Very, very powerful. You've got a story being told of two young prostitutes that are rescued and brought home with this wonderful man who dresses them up, makes them beautiful, provides for them, marries them. One of the sisters that has been a prostitute, now rescued, starts looking out after these good-looking young men from another country. And she goes after them. Now, she's warned time and time again, this is going to lead to your death. And she doesn't listen. So she goes after these other lovers, and she ends up getting herself killed and her children. The other sister has seen all of this take place. You know what she does? The same thing. And Ezekiel says, what I'm talking about is God, Israel, and Judah. Israel and Judah were two prostitutes living in Egypt. God rescued them, made them beautiful. They cheated on, one of them cheated on them. They got destroyed, got their kids killed. The other one watched all of this and then went and did the exact same thing. Did that second one know what was right and wrong? It did. But they didn't live up to it. So we got to learn to listen to instruction, but we got to want to learn it, and we've got to want to live it, we've got to want to apply it. Because if we don't do those things, what good does it do us to know the right answers if we're not going to live it. All right, the book of Proverbs says over and over again in the first few chapters that what we got to do is, he says, my son, listen. My son, treat this as a treasure. I got to ask you a question. Do you treat the Scripture as a treasure? The simple truth of the matter is all of us have allowed too many things to come into our life and invade us and invade our lives to where that we're not hearing this instruction and getting it. Because, you see, we would even waste time. I did this before I came. I think one of the dumbest TV shows in the history of TV shows is Wild Man or whatever that's called, the Turtle Man. Anybody that has a brain in their head knows that you kill a snapping turtle, you don't catch it and move it to another pond. Now, if y'all don't know what I'm talking about, you are blessed for not knowing. But I watched an episode of that before I came. And when I got up, I'm like, why did I just waste time watching this guy go, yee, 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 yee? But we watch that, we watch the news, some of you watch Fox News and your blood pressure goes up, you watch CNN, your blood pressure goes up, you're mad about everything, and we're doing a whole lot of getting mad and talk, fussing about the politicians, whichever side you come down on, and we spend more time fussing and listening to them tell us about it than we do praying about it. Not only that, we don't do enough praying about it. We don't do enough reading of the Scripture. We're scared to death. Somebody out here is going to ask us a Bible question and we don't have the answer to it, but none of us are preparing to answer the question. And by the way, I will tell you this from what I know. They are not going to ask you a question you don't already know pretty much the answer to. Except for, where did God come from? And you know that one as well as I do. He's always been. They're going to say, I don't get that. You say, me neither, but I believe. The world doesn't know the Bible anymore, folks. They don't know it. So here we are in the position now of being kind to people. That's important. Being kind to people and answering questions. But we're not preparing for the questions. Because we're doing too much other stuff. We're reading the newspaper. We're watching the news. We're watching our favorite show. We're listening to the radio. We got to go here. We got to go there. And to be honest, the more this is true of me as it is you. By the way, you and I point at you again. I'm not picking on you. This is just Elsa. Hold your little thing up there. See, she's got that. We've got the Bible. So accessible now. But are we reading it any more than when we had to go find the old leather-bound King James Version? We're not even reading it as much now. And are you online? Can you be online out here? I mean, you can't. She don't know the secret here. You can't see. She knows it. That's you pretending to take notes. Anyway, you can get over there. And if you don't like one version, you know what you can do. You can go to another one that you can understand better, and we're still not getting it. Why? Why? We said that people are not interested in church and in spiritual things, and here we are, God's people, that are not even devoting enough time to hearing God's word. Jesus said something about where our treasure is, that's where our heart will be also. So maybe we ought to start working on ourselves and saying, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, because we haven't been. I'm not saying you don't know much about the Bible. Probably most of you know a great deal about the Bible. So if we know a great deal about the Bible, does that mean we get to quit reading it? Why would you keep reading it if you know a bunch about it? I'm serious. I'm asking a question. Why would you keep reading if you know a bunch about it? Learn more about it. How many of you've all said this? Wait a minute. We got clocks everywhere. Is this one right? Oh, if it takes that many looks around, then you don't know it. All right. To learn more, how many of you have experienced this? You know a story, you read it again, and you say, I see it the first time. By the way, how helpful have you found? I don't know if y'all do this. Don't get bent out of shape if you don't do this. How many of you found it helpful now, those of us that grew up on the King James Version, to read it in a different version? How many of you find that helpful? It's kind of like reading it all over again, isn't it? It's new, exciting. Some of them are funny. I mean, some of the translations are funny. The Message is a hoot. I would never use it from the pulpit, but it's a paraphrase. But it's pretty good at times. And get excited about it. Wow, I've never thought about it this way, but that's exactly what it's saying in the one I grew up with. It's just saying it a whole lot more direct. See, there's some things we got to do ourselves. We got to start working. All right. We need to remind ourselves daily that the Bible is the most important message that God. It's the most important text message we got. Now, focus. People get sick of hearing me talk about this. I'm not naive. I study different religious groups, have a long, long time. I am fascinated by the Amish and Mennonites. By the way, they get smarter looking all the time. They do. They get smarter looking all the time. But you go in at one of their houses at lunchtime. You know what they do at lunch besides have a meal and then take a nap? Smart people. You know what they do? They have their Bible sitting out and they have their songbook sitting out. They eat their meal. They read the scripture. They study one of their songs. They don't just sing it on Sunday. They study it. And then they go take a nap. Now they're legalistic. They're legalistic. And that bothers me about them. They bind rules on people that are man-made rules. That bothers me. But are you listening to me on this? Because they're guarding themselves from outside influence, they have a closer community, they have closer families, and it's harder for them to leave than it ever would be for somebody to leave the Church of Christ. Why? They're not bombarded by all this other, they focus on what is important. Second thing that I would say, that we need to remind ourselves that the instruction in the Bible is from our Creator and it is what's best for us. What I'm finding out and what you're finding out, and if you hadn't experienced this, this will disturb you. This will disturb you. You ask many of our kids today that grew up in church, is homosexuality wrong? You know what they're going to say? I'm not so sure if it's wrong. I don't agree with it, but if that's what they want to do, why do they say that? Why would they say that?
Because they're bombarded with that message every day.
They're bombarded with that message every day, and we end up saying, maybe they're right. And they're hearing that more than they are the Bible.
Because as the teacher, you're not allowed to teach.
I don't blame the education system at all. It's the media that does that. Yeah, teachers have always been my hero, even when they were whipping me all the time, and they did. I'm not making that up. They did. I deserved every one I got. Didn't affect me negatively in any way, except for a real nervous twitch I have occasionally. But anyway, no, I mean they've always been my hero. They try very hard, and they have a lot put on them. And we talk about prayer in school. Would you really want to introduce prayer in school again now? If you introduce prayer in school now, who's going to lead the prayer? In this country of ours now, with the open-minded attitude that we have, who's going to lead prayer? It's going to be every person that will offend Christians the most that will be in charge of leading the prayer. We don't live in Mayberry anymore. That's a rude awakening. First thing they're going to do is they're going to have a Muslim to lead us in prayer. So we can be culturally diverse. And then they're going to have a Wiccan to lead prayer. And she's going to pray, Dear Mother God, we're thankful for the life that flows from your womb. I'm not making this stuff up. I know what I'm talking about. That's what you're going to have. So I wish we hadn't lost what we had. But the truth of the matter is, let me come back to this. If you want your kids to know what is true, you're going to have to spend time teaching them the truth. We don't even do that in the church anymore. We expect our kids to get all the Bible knowledge they need in our Bible classes. We don't teach them when we get home. Tell me I'm not right on that. We expect 30 minutes in a Bible class on Sunday morning, which half the members don't come to, and to be enough. It's not enough. If it's important, we're going to make time for it. If it's important, if we're not even teaching our own children, we know we're not going to teach the world. So get off that. Keep on. I'll make you so mad you won't listen to me anymore. Remind ourselves that a life well lived, is a blessing to others. Why should we listen to God's instruction? Because every day I wake up, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I'm a blessing to myself and I'm a blessing to others. And I ought to want that. Let me tell you a parable. We'll close with this. This is a frustrating parable. This is from Noel Friedman. He actually did write 3 books. I forgot the little book of parables, fables, whatever. If I told you a story, pretend you never heard it before. You're walking down a road. This is hard to imagine because we don't walk down the road anymore. But you're walking down the road and you come to a bridge and it's over a deep chasm. Is that the way you say it? Chasm, whatever. Big gully. And there's a fella standing there as you come to the bridge. Now you have to be on down the road. This is a do or die situation as far as your future. You've got to be in town at a certain point in time. But this fella is standing there and he has a rope tied around his waist, the other end of the rope tied to the bridge. No, I'm sorry. He has a rope tied around himself. The other end is loose. He reaches down, he picks it up and he throws it. I'm throwing it to you. You would never sit up this close if you knew I was going to do it that way, right? Throw it to you. All right? I'm the guy with the rope. You're the guy coming along. I jump off. No, you're the guy. You're holding on to the rope. You got me. I'm heavy. Now I'm off, dangling off the side of the bridge. What are you going to do? I'm heavy. You can't. You start pulling. You pull, and you can't get me up. You know what you're going to do? You're going to say, "Help me out." Right? So I'm just laying back here, got the rope around my waist. I said, "I ain't doing a thing. You got to save me." And the sweat's already popping out on you. Your hands are burning. Your muscles are burning. You plead with me. "Please help me up. I've got to be in town." "Nope, you got me." "All right, ladies and gentlemen, I picked on him. He's got to be in town." "I'm not going to help him. What's he got to do?" "Nobody's going to help. That's out of the equation."
"Just hope it don't hurt you when you fall."
"Huh?"
"Hope it don't hurt you when you fall."
"You can't tie it. Let's take that out of the equation. I'm glad you think it. Can't tie it. Nobody's going to help. You keep holding on. You're missing your appointment in town, which is super important. Or you're going to go off the side with me.
You're going to have to pray."
"I would go pray." And the Lord says, "Figure it out." What do you, ultimately have to do?
Time off.
You can't time them off.
Drop him.
But if he drops me, he's killed me.
No.
All right, why? You sure?
You just made the choice to jump, so what if I hadn't been coming up when you jumped?
Now you're thinking. You think that clearly on the difference between spiders and snakes, you'd be all
right.
Don't ask a question. You've let me go. Did you kill me?
No.
I did it to myself. Can you feel good about your decision? Not really. It's nothing you can do, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to feel bad about somebody.
That's right.
Isn't that the way life works?
I think it does.
That is the way life works. We need to live the best life we can live. We need to be better recipients of the truth than what we are. We need to be better proclaimers of the truth than what we are. But ultimately, can we force anybody to do what's right?